Grace and peace from God our Father and from our living Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Timing, they say, is everything. Whether it's telling a joke or making a dramatic entrance onto the stage or popping the question, timing is everything. When the timing is right, people laugh at your joke, they gasp at your entrance, or smile radiantly at your proposal. And when your timing is off, they are just as likely to gasp at your joke, smile at your entrance, or laugh at your proposal. Timing, as they say, is everything. Which is what makes this wedding at Cana such a scene. The timing goes all wrong. No, it's not that the bride or groom speaks out of turn. It's not that the pastor mispronounces the names or gets the vows confused in a four weddings and a funeral kind of way. It's just that the wine ran out too early. We probably shouldn't be all that surprised by that. After all, John tells us it's the third day of the wedding banquet. 3 days means a lot of wine, and if it were a particularly thirsty bunch or if the weather were unusually warm, we can very well imagine they would run dry. Now, if it were us, we might just ask some close friends or family members to make a quick run to the local wine shop and pick up some more. But in this day and age, running out of wine too early isn't just a little bit embarrassing, it is a disaster. Wine isn't just a social lubricant, you see. It's a sign of the harvest, of God's abundance, of joy and gladness and hospitality. And so when they run short on wine, they run short on blessing. Timing is everything. The wine has run out before the wedding has, and it is a catastrophe because a wedding without wine spells a marriage without hope. To make matters worse, Jesus' mother doesn't seem to have much of a sense of timing either. At least that's what Jesus first seems to think. "They have no wine," she says to her son. Now, we don't know whether she was close to the families of the groom or bride and so just wanted to help, or if she's just particularly sensitive to this kind of social faux pas. What we do know is that she expected her son to do something about it. But Jesus seems to think this is another instance of bad timing. "Woman," he responds, taking an oddly formal tone with his mother. I mean, I cannot imagine addressing my mom that way, but apparently Jesus can and does. "Woman," he says, "what concern is that to you and to me? My hour, my time, has not yet come." Jesus seems to have a very clear sense of timing, but Mary knows better. Rather than raise an eyebrow at his tone or offer a counterpoint to his assertion, she turns to the servants and tells them simply and clearly, "Do whatever he says." Now, it could be that, like a good Jewish mother, Mary knew her son would come around. Protest he might, but eventually he will listen to his mother. Or it could be that Mary knows how to tell time better than Jesus thought. She was, after all, the one who brought him into the world, the one who nursed him as a babe and watched him grow, the one who dried his tears as a child and followed him as a disciple as an adult. So perhaps we shouldn't be surprised if Mary recognized that whenever her son was on the scene, it was no ordinary time. And all things were possible. Well, you know the rest of the story. Jesus instructs the servants to fill 6 large stone basins with water and then draw out some of the water, now turned into wine, and take it to the steward. And once again, timing is an issue. Most hosts, you see, serve the very best wine up front, hoping to make a good impression on all the guests, and then save the cheap wine for later when the palates of the guests have been, shall we say, sufficiently dulled so as not to notice the drop in quality. But this host, the steward assumes, has bucked the traditional timing and saved the best wine for last. And suddenly this couple has 6 huge stone basins up to 180 more gallons of fantastic wine, more than enough for even three more days. No one, that is, could now leave this wedding thirsty because abundance and blessing now overflowed. Timing is everything, not just in this scene, but across John's gospel that we'll be reading all this winter and spring. In fact, there are two kinds of time in particular that dominate John's imagination. One is the time of our clocks and watches. It's the kind of time with which we count and track the everyday events of our lives. It's the time that's measured in minutes and seconds, days and hours. It's the time we spend standing in lines or clocking in at work or stopping, waiting at the stoplight or waiting for the diagnosis. It is mundane, ordinary time, and it beats on relentlessly until that time when we close our eyes and finally escape its dull, predictable cadence once and for all. But there is another kind of time at play in John's gospel. It is a special, extraordinary, even royal kind of time, where all that is predictable fades away and what emerges in its place is sheer possibility. This is God's time, and it punctures through the ordinary canvas and clock of our lives at unexpected intervals to reveal a glimpse of the divine, a glimpse of God's presence with us. Sometimes we get those kinds of hints in our everyday lives. Maybe it's the first smile of a newborn or the sun emerging after days of clouds. Maybe it's the joy of receiving an acceptance letter or job offer or seeing people rally to the need and defense of their neighbors. Or maybe it's just that moment of delight brought on by someone's unexpected and unnecessary kindness. Even the smallest gesture of blessing can jolt us out of our dull routine and remind us that we are not alone. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. When he speaks of his hour, he's not talking about a date and time on his calendar. He's talking about that time when God will reveal his glory through his cross and resurrection. The time when God will be accessible, available to everyone once and for all. That time, that hour, Jesus says, has not yet come. Or has it? Once again, pay attention to Mary, who seems to know what time it is better than we might expect. For Mary seems not only to believe that Jesus can do something about this disastrous loss of blessing, but also expects him to. And John, the author of this story, seems to agree. After all, John tells us it's the third day of the wedding, wanting to grab our attention. And in response, careful readers across the centuries have said, wait, did you just say it's the third day? As in after the third day he was raised from the dead? That's right. Because whenever there is need, and Jesus is on the scene, resurrection and hope and abundance are nearby. And knowing this makes all the difference. For every moment that we live in Jesus, testify Mary and John, every one of those moments has the capacity to mediate, to make available the divine, God's presence. The music we hear on a Sunday can grant us a sense of hope. An ordinary hug can convey unbounded love and blessing. The smallest donation of food or money can tip the balance between scarcity and abundance. Just a simple act of kindness can make all the difference in the world. A word of hope, encouragement, telling someone you see them can make all the difference in the world. And when offered at just the right time, can shine God's light even into the darkest of places. Across John's gospel, Jesus does 7 miracles, except that John never calls them miracles. He calls them signs, because each one reveals something important about Jesus and his mission. Just so here, as at the wedding of Cana, we realize that when Jesus is on the scene, anything is possible. So what is it you are struggling with just now? Illness? Loneliness? Uncertainty about the future? A loss of a sense of purpose or hope? Fear for our neighbors or community? Do you feel remarkably short on blessing just now, like the wine has run out too early? Do not give up. Jesus is with you, promising hope and blessing and abundance is right around the corner. And it's not just that either. It's not just that what we need, but it's also what we can do, what we can offer and give. What talents do you have? What energy and enthusiasm and compassion might you offer? What love and kindness and encouragement can you share? Jesus will take all these things, whether at home or work, at school or places of volunteering, here at church, or out in the community. Jesus will take these things and multiply them in order to shower blessing on all those around us. Sometimes we're the recipients of blessing, and sometimes we get to be those who share and give God's blessings to those in need. Either way, Jesus is at work in us and through us, always in love. Timing, as they say, is everything. So what time is it? 10:32 on a Sunday morning? Sure. Maybe. But it's also something more. Because according to Mary and John, and because of Jesus, it is also the right time. God's time, even here and now. So leave this place in hope and confidence, ready both to receive blessing and hope and ready to give it to others, prepared to make a difference in the world, because suddenly, and in Jesus, all things are possible. Thanks be to God. Amen.